Dear Lord, we pray that you would speak to us from your word this morning and help us to understand what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. As Lawrence has already pointed out, we're going through this epistle to the Thessalonians. In fact, this was probably the first epistle that Paul wrote. In fact, it's probably started him on the idea of writing epistles to the churches. It's probably also the first book that was actually written down in the New Testament. I can say written down on paper. Actually, it's probably written down on parchment, on actually papyrus. And the events that Paul talks about in, well, the end of chapter 2 and particularly in chapter 3, links in very closely with the account of Paul's visit to Paul and Silas's visit to Thessalonica in Acts 17. So we're looking a bit at Acts 17 as well as this epistle. And Paul was actually facing great difficulties himself, which he expected, but he was worried that the Thessalonians were also facing difficulties. He was concerned that these difficulties might have stopped the church from thriving. However, the epistle shows very clearly that Paul's doubts were actually unrealized, that in fact the church did thrive and were very strong. I think that's part of the lesson that we need to draw out of it, that in fact persecution strengthens the church, not weakens it. The story of Paul's mission to Macedonia as a whole, the sort of northern part of modern-day Greece, it actually starts in Acts 16, 9-10. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. However, when God calls us so clearly, it doesn't actually mean that life is going to be easy or straightforward. More likely to mean the opposite. God gives us that clear vision to give us strength to cope with the problems that we're going to face. So it keeps us going. And as we discover in Acts that Paul first went to Philippi. In fact, he refers to it in chapter 2, verse 2. We previously suffered, insult in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. As we know from the story in Acts, that the church was well established, but then Paul had to leave because he was put in prison and then was chased out. So they travelled to the next town along the main road, which runs across the north of Greece, modern-day Greece, and came across Thessalonica. And Paul preached in the Jewish synagogue, as in Acts 17:2-4. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue. On three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. So the church started well. However, the success of the gospel made some of the Jews very jealous. They caused trouble for the group after a short time, possibly just a few weeks. These problems meant that Paul and Silas had to move on. In verse 5 in Acts 17, but other Jews were jealous. They rounded up some bad characters in the marketplace, formed a mob and started a riot in the city. The story goes on to say that the church were meeting in a house belonging to a chap called Jason, was possibly also the leader of the new church. But Jason was brought before the city officials, was made to post a bond, basically a financial guarantee that Paul and his companions would leave the city. The issue that concerned Paul was the leaders of the new church were involved in the difficulties that Paul himself was facing. This might have stopped the church from continuing. Paul really felt that he'd not spent long enough in Thessalonica to get the church properly established, to ensure it would survive. Paul and Silas and Timothy moved on to Berea. They followed a similar pattern. They taught in the synagogue and established a church there. They had time in Berea to actually establish a fairly strong church. And again, many of the Jews were part of the new church, along with many Greeks, both men and women. However, the Jews from Thessalonica followed them to Berea and chased them out again. So Paul went back to the coast and went down to Athens. and then went on to Corinth, established a church there as well, and then was joined by Silas and Timothy. So Paul was left with a feeling in Thessalonians 3:5 that he might have failed in Thessalonica. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. He'd not been able to give the church the time he felt he should. He left the church whose people were in trouble with the authorities. So Paul's expression of concern for the church was actually fairly unusual in his epistles. Since it was the first church to which he wrote an epistle, he was able to put these concerns in writing. He was able to visit a lot of the other churches he'd started, particularly in Asia Minor, in his missionary journeys. And he'd done this before he went to Macedonia. So all those, he's very happy that those churches had survived. But the need for Paul to leave Thessalonica quickly caused his concerns in chapter 2, verse 17. But brothers, we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought. After our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. We wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. Paul's plans were confounded by the Jews, who made sure he went away from Thessalonica, even chased him away from Berea. Paul sees these Jews as being motivated by Satan, in verse 17, but Satan stopped us. And because they didn't want the church to succeed. And earlier in chapter 2, Paul sees these Jews as reflecting the attitude of the Pharisees in Judea, 1 Thessalonians 2:14 to 15. You brothers became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things these churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and also drove us out. But Paul did have high hopes for the third church in Thessalonica, as we see from verses 19 to 20. What is our hope, our joy, or the crown which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. But Paul had doubts whether these hopes were going to be established. So Paul's frustration led him to send Timothy back to Thessalonica. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. So we could stand it no longer. We thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, that no one be unsettled by these trials. Timothy had two tasks. One is to report back to Paul of how the church was doing, and secondly, to continue the work that Paul felt that he hadn't finished, to keep on building the church up, to help them, make them strong. Paul himself felt that he was going to suffer persecution. He'd been promised that. So it wasn't unexpected for him. But what was unexpected was the church's pressure that they were under. Chapter 3, verse 3. You know quite well that we are destined for trials. In fact, when we were with you, we kept on telling you that we would be persecuted. It turned out that way, as you well know. So Paul was expecting persecution, but what he was concerned about was that pressure being on the church. They experienced some of that pressure. Go back to Acts. The Jews dragged Jason and some of the other believers before the city officials. And jumping a bit, city officials were thrown into turmoil. They made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. The pressures from the Jews might have caused them to abandon the Christian faith, as Paul thinks in verse 5. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent out to find out about your faith, afraid in some way the tempter might have tempted you. Our efforts might have been useless. However, Paul's concerns were not justified. Though Paul's plans were frustrated, God's plans were not. Timothy had brought a very good report about the church in Thessalonica, in verses 6 and 8. Timothy has just come now from you and has brought us good news about your faith and love. He told us that you always had pleasant memories of us. You long to see us just as we also long to see you. For now we are really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. So despite Paul's misgivings, the Thessalonican church are actually doing rather well. As you go back, if you remember the passages, in, particularly in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. So in fact, the church was not under they were under pressure, but they didn't turn away. Became a model for the rest of the church in that whole area, not only in just Macedonia, but also further south, in the area in areas which is modern Greece. Why did that happen? Well, the church was composed of a few Jews, but mainly of Greeks who had faith in God. Again, going back to Acts, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. It's probable the Greeks, both men and women, were actually looking for something, looking beyond their traditional Greek religions, which didn't satisfy them. They found a way forward in the Jewish religion. They sort of come to the synagogue and were hearing about God. But then they heard Paul talking about the Messiah that they're looking for, as Jesus. And they discovered that this is what we've really been looking for. This is what we want to hold on to. They're ready to accept Christ and ready to accept the gospel. In many ways, the persecution of the other Jews would actually have strengthened their faith, because they didn't want to go back and join a synagogue where people were being difficult. They wanted to hold on to the faith that Paul had offered. In fact, we discover that in other places across the world. In fact, where the church is persecuted, it's often growing. Many of you know that many years ago we worked in Nepal, and where the church was being persecuted. And that church has grown incredibly fast. We were talking to somebody recently, I can't remember how many Bible colleges there are, it's hundreds, where the people are being taught about the gospel. They want to hear more about it. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we went to meetings where we heard from people who were working in Syria and also in Pakistan. We discovered that God is working in these places. The church is being built up, despite the tremendous persecution that they're under. In fact, in many ways, the people who are doing the persecuting are seen as being weak in themselves. They haven't got a strong faith, but they're actually coming out with their doubts are causing trouble for the church. In fact, many people are receiving visions and turning to Christ and holding firm to the faith. So as we look at the Macedonian church, we can see perhaps Paul spent time in Philippi and was able to establish a strong church there. As we see from the Gospels of the Philippians, which we looked at, about a year ago. The people in Berea were much more ready to listen to Paul, and many of the Jews responded. Again, going back to Acts, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. They received the message with great eagerness, examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Actually, we haven't got an epistle to Bereans. It's interesting. They weren't seen as a key church, even though they received the gospel more enthusiastically. It was the one church under difficulties, the Thessalonian church, that was the one that was strong and held firm to the gospel. So Paul's had a deep concern for the Thessalonians and turned that into prayer, as we see from verses 9 and 10. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray for you most earnestly. We may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. He had this desire for that he wanted to go back to them, and he prayed about that. Now our God and Father himself, and may our Lord and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. But he was also praying that they would be established in faith themselves. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with his holy ones. In fact, Paul's prayer was answered, as we discover in Acts, that in his third missionary journey, he went back to Macedonia. Acts 20, verse 2, he traveled through Macedonia, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, further south. So Paul's prayer was answered, even though perhaps it took him longer than he thought for that to happen. So I think the passage from Thessalonians gives us a sense of Paul's commitment to mission, and but also to the churches to whom he preached the gospel. He had a passion that drove him, a desire and his love for the church. Paul's plan to stay in the church of Thessalonica was actually frustrated, as he had to leave well before he thought he was ready. Paul had doubts about the church there, but God didn't. God knew what he was doing. So Timothy brought a report that the church was doing rather well, that God's plan was being fulfilled. Amen.